and welcome to Lambda Weekly. And let's see.
A little crazy here.
We just all flew in. Patty said we had some dead air going out. So she's just checking on her car radio to make sure, because all the indicators are showing that everything's good. Patty sent a text. This was precious. Patty's text at a quarter of was, I'm running a little late.
Surprise!
I was so surprised. We both texted her back and said, no, no, not possible. Our guest today also just flew in, and I'm just kind of vamping till she gets all set. State Representative Victoria Niave, she was with us earlier this year, kind of the beginning of the session. And freshman state representative, and looking forward to the session. Now we've gone through a session. She was named freshman representative of the year. Congratulations!
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
And one of the reasons that you were named that is you did something that is not possible. You got legislation through your first try.
Yes, and we actually had the language of six of our bills that were passed and all signed into law by the governor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you do that? Who did you bribe?
We worked really hard. Our office worked across the aisle and to advocate and push for policy that benefited our fellow Texans. It wasn't easy. Sometimes, you know, folks get one bill passed. Sometimes we just worked really, really hard and worked the bills to try to earn the support of my fellow colleagues.
That's not what I heard. What I heard from other representatives was, oh, this is one of Victoria's bills. Crap, we better go and sign on for it. I'm afraid of her. For anybody who doesn't know, she's huge and imposing and... okay, so you're not. Tell us a little bit about this session. What was it like actually being there on the floor of the House for your first session?
Yeah, it was, oh man, it was incredible. It started off where we, you know, were working across the aisle. We knew that we were going to have some big battles on lots of issues, like the bathroom bill and other legislation. From talking to a lot of the senior members that have been there, said this was one of the worst sessions ever, and we felt it, and it was.
We just, felt it too.
Yeah, and it was incredible the how far right and how like the extremism that the way that the legislature is going, which is why people. I think we want our community to realize every single vote is important, especially in the upcoming 2018 elections. And you know, y'all heard that the speaker has decided not to run again. He was one of those that helped us kill the bathroom bill, and
he was sort of a gatekeeper for a lot of the crazy.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. And I was devastated when I heard that Joe Strauss was not going to run again. This is huge for
I read
our community.
That, and I said, okay, where's the second sentence or the second part of that sentence that says, because I'm running for governor?
Right.
I mean, I'd support him. What a great guy.
Yeah.
So the bathroom bill, I mean, as a community, we were all on edge, mm-hmm. not just through the regular session, through the special session.
Yes.
But, you know, we don't know what it's like actually in the fight. What was it? How close was it? How nail-biting was it?
Let me tell you, the fact that people from our community here, all across the state, came and testified against the bill, called their local representatives and senators, offices were being flooded with phone calls, emails, testimony, individuals, the business community, all of that made a big difference. So I just want to say to anybody who came out, thank you for coming out to help us fight that bill, because that is what I believe made the difference. The business community, a lot of people contacted their, you know, they worked at big corporations and said, hey, what are you doing to help us kill the bill? And the fact that we had big corporations coming and helping put pressure on some of our colleagues to vote against it.
And it wasn't just business itself, but it was
chambers of commerce
and visitors bureaus,
yes.
And mayors of major cities. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we got support on that one that, you know, if you want to look at the good, look at the support we got on that.
Yes.
And being able to defeat that in this toxic political climate.
I mean, you're, it wasn't just businesses, but let's be honest, money talks and you know the rest walks. So, I mean, did the ones who were just refused to give up their support for this, did they not look at, what were they saying? Did they not look at what happened in North Carolina?
We kept talking about that and the impact of the millions of dollars that they lost, and the money that we could have lost, the fact that the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys could have lost the NFL draft and others, just the economic impact. I think people listened and saw, okay, what's the impact? But, I mean, it's not going away. We know that they want to try to bring it back next session.
Of course they do.
And they're going to keep on, which is why the work that we're doing here has to continue, and people have to vote in not every 4 years, but in the upcoming 2018 election. Because I want to share this little note, like some folks, right now in the Texas House, we have 55 Democrats and 95 Republicans. And
so it's all real even, and just a couple of votes could make a difference, huh?
Well, here's the thing. Like, if they pick up 5 more seats, that gives them 100 votes. That is a supermajority where rules can be suspended, and a lot of what happened in the Senate, it's just that. That's why in 18, the 18 elections are really critical for folks to get out and vote again for. And, of course, you know, I got to push our party. We need folks to support the Democratic candidates. We would love to have the support. And it's the Democrats that we fought very, very hard to try to kill a lot of these bills.
Mm-hmm. What I think is so incredibly exciting about the 2018 elections is so many women running for the Texas House all across Dallas County and North Texas. There were women who stepped up.
I just booked, we didn't come up with a firm date, Julie Johnson is running against Matt Rinaldi in...
Yes.
Where's that district? Kind of Coppell?
It's the far northwest corner of Dallas County.
Okay.
It's Coppell, West Irving.
She'll be on,
Harvest
I think,
Branch.
In December. So,
right. And you're right, Patty. There are right now 29 women out of 150 representatives. 29. It's 2017, y'all. Wow. You know, we've very honored to be one of those 29.
And that's including Republicans.
LaRon, how did all those women slip in and we didn't know? What are we doing wrong?
We need 46 more women of any party just to have parity in the House. And you can feel it on the floor. It's a sea
of testosterone.
Yeah. you can you know, as you look down from the gallery onto the floor, you can spot us. I mean words, yeah, we need more women.
Yeah, you can spot her because she wears these outrageous costumes on the floor of the house.
I try to bring some color, not outrageous, but professional. But with
now
color.
One thing that I think is real interesting, Dallas County Democrat Eric Johnson announced that he's going to run for Speaker of the House when Strauss announced he was resigning. That would be an interesting little change there. Would something like that, in your opinion, even be possible, though?
I think we as Democrats... we're going to be meeting very soon here. We've had a conference call, our Democratic caucus, and so the one thing that we... I believe have to be is united in support of a candidate, whomever it's going to be, and it has to be somebody who is willing to be bipartisan, willing to look at, listen to both sides, and
sane, right?
And you know, not one of the extremists, not.
You know, when Harriet Earhart was on, I think she had just gone out of office. One thing Harriet said, and this has always stuck with me, she said, you know, when we sat down and listened to each other, like in a committee hearing or, you know, around a table, and both sides got together to write legislation and we wrote it together, we ended up with much better legislation because it helped more people.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I agree with that. When we, CPS, for example, that is an issue where Democrats and Republicans came together. We were able to pass good reform for CPS, bring in more money. And
what types of reforms got through?
Some of the issues are, so right now a lot of the caseworkers had one of the highest caseloads in the country, and the impact of that was that children were sleeping on floors of offices. They were not able to go and visit the children as often as they should, and children were falling through the cracks. So we've reduced the caseloads. We've put more money into to be able to pay. A lot of these were caseworkers were being underpaid compared to other caseworkers across the state. We addressed kinship reform. So a lot of grandparents, for example, children were being placed into foster care instead of being connected with their families. And so those are issues where Democrats, Republicans came together. We were able to pass good reform impacting CPS. But on some of these other issues, we have to fight. And there's a lot at stake. So, but yeah, we've got to try to work together. And right now, the direction of the House is we need some balance.
But there was a bad bill that came out with CPS as well. Mm-hmm. A bill that allows, they're trying to outsource, I suppose, some of the CPS functions to private entities. And in that process, those entities can use their religion to deny services to people they don't like or don't believe in, or don't, if their religion says that they shouldn't welcome them or be nice to them, like people who've been divorced or someone who's had an abortion or LGBT people. So they can deny services to potential foster parents, to an LGBT child. To all kinds of people. And that was bad.
And wasn't that partly in response to the fact that there were CPS workers who were quitting, so they're understaffed.
So the House bill that you're referring to is House Bill 3859, and they were trying to push that so that these other organizations could get funding to help. But the problem was, we hear this term called sincerely held religious beliefs. So they could deny somebody because of their sincerely held religious beliefs.
Or license to discriminate.
License to discriminate is essentially what it is. And so we voted against that. We, along with lots of other groups like Equality Texas, tried to defeat that bill. That ended up being signed by the governor. And so we're going to see what the impact of that is, but
I like what Steve Rudner did. Steve is the president of Equality Texas, and he has a law firm that deals with mostly hotel chains around the world. And so he decided he had sincerely held religious beliefs, and because of this law, he realized he needed to follow those sincerely held religious beliefs. And one of those beliefs is he can't do business with bigots. So he contacted every single one of his suppliers to make sure that they have non-discrimination policies on the books, because if they don't, his sincerely held religious beliefs are, I can't do business with you anymore, and he was going to have to go out and look for some new suppliers.
And he was pretty straightforward with it. I need to hear from you within two weeks.
He gave him 2 weeks, and I need to follow up with him and see how many of his suppliers turned out to be bigots. And part of his letter, though, also was, if you need help in crafting those things, please give me a call, because I'd be happy to. You know, he wasn't trying to alienate people so much as he was trying to make a good point. But he said, well, we'll see what happens. I think I do business with good people, but I need to know, because that's my sincerely held religious belief, and Texas wants me to do business based on my sincerely held religious beliefs. And more people with those kinds of sincerely held religious beliefs need to stick to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, the difference, though, is on our side, if that's our sincerely held religious belief, we believe that your religious beliefs are your own business. And so we're uncomfortable even questioning that in another person, because, to us, your religious beliefs are something much more personal, and we understand separating our personal beliefs with doing business with people. Like, you know, Patty, you and I don't care that Laurent is a religious bigot.
But you know what's interesting is the similar bill that was statewide in Mississippi, a license to discriminate bill exactly like that, but would apply in every sector of life, has been was passed several years ago and was been tied up in the courts. But then there's been an appeals ruling that says let it go ahead and go and be in effect while we, you know, go through the appeals process. And so that's now in effect in Mississippi. And I fear what's going to happen to people. It's Jim Crow all over again. But at the same time, I hope that if it ever comes up in Texas, that someone in the legislature will introduce something that says you have to post what you're going to deny.
Yeah.
Because I don't want these people to own it. They need to own it. If you're not going to serve gay people or LGBT people, that needs to be in the window. It needs to be on your web advertising. It needs to be on every ad in the newspaper. It needs to be on your business cards. And it needs to be everywhere.
When they introduced that in Oklahoma, the bill was dead within hours.
Because they don't want to own it. They want to be able to spring it on people anytime. But as a consumer, we need to know.
We need to know. Absolutely.
You know, I want to see it on the door.
You know, we haven't talked about this much, or talking about license to discriminate, but the Supreme Court is supposed to hear arguments with this cake case. This could really change the game. Mm-hmm. And I think the arguments are going to hear in December. So that could affect very much Texas and this now existing law.
Well, wouldn't that be interesting, though, that they'll suddenly recognize the Supreme Court and its rulings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Because right now, you know, like my state senator, Bob Hall, seems to think that the Supreme Court doesn't apply to Texas. Anything coming out of the United States Supreme Court doesn't apply to Texas, and Texas is exempt. Mm-hmm. You know, like the marriage ruling and all those
Roy
things.
That's Roy Moore, who was thrown off of the bench in Alabama and is now running for senator. That was the thing that got him thrown out, because he ruled in Alabama that the Alabama Constitution trumps, and I mean it using exactly that word, trumps the U.S. Constitution, and it doesn't work that way. So
I feel for you having to work with them every day.
I do my best.
Joe Strauss was from Dallas.
Yeah.
Joe Strauss, not resigned, but said he was retiring. You know, I was upset, I was whatever, and then I just kind of felt like, yeah, I get it. You know, there's just so many times you can bang your head against the wall.
Yeah.
So
when is his term up?
The end of 2018.
We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Ron Landis. Our guest is the late state representative, Victoria Nave. And we'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
It's one of those days. It happens on weeks when we go and see Donald Trump Jr. Yes, I got in.
Tell us how.
Donald Trump Jr. was making
no press was allowed.
No, yeah, media was banned on a speech that was entitled Freedom of Speech. No, he apparently did not get the irony of that. However, certain people who shall not be named at UNT did think that was kind of ironic. Gave two tickets to a donor at UNT who invited me, because I did not get a ticket directly from somebody at UNT. I got it through a donor to UNT who also felt that the media shouldn't be banned. God, he's interesting. And when I say that, I mean he isn't. The president of the school got up, and this offended me probably more than anything, because I expected more from him, made his joke about fake news and all the fake news you heard about this event. He has a school of journalism that he needs to stand up and apologize to.
Sure.
Talking about
Absolutely.
Fake news. How dare he? How dare he? And I'd invite him to come on our show and do that. And I'm going to let him know that, because I just thought about that. Oh, we have a radio show. He could come on our show and discuss fake news with us. Donald Trump Jr. was there to discuss the election, because they can't let that go. He was there to talk about his father's foreign policy. You know, the one thing I found interesting in his father's foreign policy, as explained by Donald Trump Jr., he said, we'll go overseas to protect American lives, protect American property, but we're not going to be imperialistic, liberal, blah, 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 like Obama, blah, 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 Hillary Clinton, blah, 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 Obama, to export American values, because it didn't work in Iraq, hasn't worked in Afghanistan. And he's right about that. It's just that the other part of it, he didn't say, we'll go overseas to protect. When he said American property, he meant Trump property,
mm-hmm.
basically, is what he meant. But
And
whatever.
The Trump Organization is building two new hotels outside the United States. After they said they wouldn't because, you know, the Emoluments Clause.
Right. And how amazing it is that he was able to build this, the largest, fastest growing hotel property chain in the world. And he did it starting with nothing. You really have to be impressed with this guy. And one other thing, Benghazi. He did use some non sequiturs. That was one of them. What was interesting was the reaction when he was introduced. Everybody stood up, and you can't see me, but I'm applauding into the mic. This is how loud the applause were, and they were equally loud at the end of the speech.
And you did something different there, you and Robert Emery.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't stand up.
No, we didn't. I put on Facebook we took a knee. Our table just sat. Our table sat. But we were the only table that sat. And I'm glad we were sitting on the 30-yard line and not in front, because nobody, you know, we weren't trying to make a statement, but I wasn't going to give him a standing ovation.
Sure.
I mean, as the press, and I did write a fair article in Dallas Voice this week about what that was about. I didn't talk about some of the personal feelings that, you know, I didn't talk about walking outside, and I looked at Robert and I said, okay, we're outside. He said, yes. I went, ah! As we walked in, and I did do this, get checked in, get my identification, and the first person there working the event, and I said, where's the gender neutral bathroom? She just looked at me like I was out of my mind. She said, well, there's a men's room over there. I said, thank you. As we're on, they're serving hors d'oeuvres on these really nice, thick plastic plates. So I asked, where do I recycle this? And so somebody who was standing near me looked at me and said, you don't do Republican very well. So I entertained myself throughout the event because I just couldn't help doing that. We're talking to State Representative Victoria Niave. She was elected Freshman Representative of the Year, actually got legislation through the House, through the Senate, and signed by our governor, because who knows how. Are you the only one who did that?
No, there were, the governor signed quite a few bills, but I think there are thousands filed, and then a certain amount make it through, not many. But I do want to share one of our bills that passed that I'm really hopeful will make a big impact on the lives of women and all across our state, and victims of sexual assault, really. It's going to be, you're going to see it starting January 1st. So right now there are lots of individuals who are victims of sexual assault don't even report that they are a victim. So when they actually get to the point of reporting the crime and then undergoing what's a really personal and invasive 4 to 6 hour sexual assault exam to collect evidence, to just have that evidence sitting there untested, sometimes for years, is not acceptable. These rape kits, we have thousands and thousands of rape kits that are untested all across our state. There was a story that came out of Austin that said that there were some sitting there so long that they were growing mold on them.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Mold. They're not even taking care of them, like refrigerating these samples. Oh.
I'm not sure if they were in a refrigerator or what, but the story said that they were growing mold on them. And so it's not, our state should be fully funding this issue, because a lot of the reasons that we hear for them not being tested is that there aren't enough funds. Each kit tests between costs between $300 to $2,000 to test, just depending on how much evidence is in there. So what our bill's going to do, starting January 1st, you're going to see on your driver's license application and renewal, your commercial driver's license, your personal ID, and you're going to see it on your motor vehicle registration, a little box where you can check to donate a dollar or any amount that you would like. And those funds will go towards the testing of evidence in sexual assault cases. And I'll tell you that we should not have to be asking our fellow Texans to donate to this cause. Our state should be fully funding this initiative, but it's not. And so,
and you know what? If there are 121 women and 29 men in the Texas House, that shit would be funded. Excuse me.
it's a matter of priorities for our legislature.
And our legislature does not respect or value women as 51% of the population at all.
Okay, so one of our women who's in the House, Jody Lavenberg, famously said last session, I think it was, or was a session before, women don't have to worry about getting pregnant because we have rape kits.
And rape kits clean them out. And I just like, I can't believe a woman, she's embarrassing. She's embarrassingly ignorant. And to stand up on the floor of the House and say something that stupid, I'm glad she's not running for re-election.
Oh, she's not?
That's what I heard.
Oh.
Said she's not.
Oh. That's beyond stupid.
It's beyond stupid.
And that's why we, the rest of us women in the House, work hard to make sure that we educate the others and put attention on these issues. The Legislative Budget Board, which determines the fiscal impact, estimates that our bills will generate $1 million per year to address this issue. And so I'm very hopeful that this is, it's going to be really significant for victims, not just women.
Well, how many drivers do we have in the state? State population's around 25 million, at least half drive, and you renew your driver's license once a year. So it's 1 million people or so every year who are getting a new driver's license.
Yeah, you renew it every few years. And then the idea that we got for another bill was actually from social media. When we had posted about this bill, that somebody said, hey, why don't you put it on your motor vehicle registration? Because we renew that more often than your driver's license. And I thought, that's brilliant. And so we drafted a law, and that bill got passed and signed into law as well. And so you're going to be seeing that very soon.
Oh, okay. So on every, awesome. On every vehicle,
every
registration.
Motor vehicle registration.
And all you're asking for is $1.
Yes.
Somebody would like to donate 10.
You can. Awesome.
But all you're really asking for is $1. And there are at least 20 million vehicles on Texas roads. Mm-hmm. One out of 20 people donates $1. You're fully funded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes more sense because you do that yearly.
Now it's 2 yearly.
Oh, that's right. You're right. They changed that. But driver's license is what, every 4 or 6 years?
Yeah.
10.
Yeah, something like that, every 4 years. I'm not sure.
No, 10 years for driver's license.
The extraordinary thing I think about this bill, though, is that you got a voice vote in the House. Like everybody said, of course, let's get this done. We're not, you know, Texas is not, you know, going to make an effort to pay for this, but we can crowdsource it with Texas citizens. Sure, it's a voice vote. Let's get this. It gets to the Senate. Everybody's in agreement except one guy. Senator Bob Hall, SD2, my senator, votes no. So just wanted to point that out. I think people should know the one guy out of how many? There's 150 in the House.
And 31 senators.
31 senators. The one guy out of 181 people is my guy.
And so, luckily it passed, was signed into law, and so you'll be hearing a lot about that soon.
Well, and that's great. You know, it's one of those issues that's been in the news a lot lately because people like Laurent are harassing women at work. And but it's been in the news a lot. I think that timing for this bill is perfect timing. You know, a lot of bills come in September. This one, because it's a new year for everybody, I guess, is a January bill. It's in the news. It's on people's minds. More people are going to say, oh yeah, Harvey Weinstein, you know, yeah.
And there's so many more now that are coming to light.
Sure,
yeah,
but he's the poster boy.
Yes.
So more people, I think, are going to go out there and help fund this.
I'm really hopeful. I'm very, and I think it will make a big impact.
But don't you think this could lead to more men being arrested? Maybe that's what Bob Hall had in mind when, you know, he was worried.
Because if they test the rape kits and they identify somebody through DNA, yeah, there could be men arrested.
There's a documentary that showed that some other cities and other parts of the country that focused on this showed that there are repeat offenders that that they were able to capture and get a lot of the rape.
Wait. Men don't just do this once.
Right, and so we need to make sure that we, I think this will help law enforcement, and it can also help exonerate people who are wrongfully accused.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of cuts both ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do think if we just look over since the beginning of time, I think a lot of reasons that the rape laws and the statute of limitations on rape, which I think are ridiculous, and the education that needs to go into getting people to report, women to report rape and such, I think all of that has been suppression because of men. men don't want, because we hear this over and over. That would be unfair because somebody could be wrongfully accused. Well, if we flip the whole story, imagine the behavior of men and young men across this country if they felt like it would be easy for them to be taken into court as on suspicion of rape. There would be affirmative consent. You would seek out a yes, not a not no. Men's behavior would completely change if they really were held accountable. And it's been since the beginning of time. There's no place on this earth at any time in history that women have been really respected as full citizens because of this issue.
And we still don't. So we'll run.
I just want to say it's men holding us back because they're doing the crime and they're protecting the criminals.
So there's been another story in news this week. There was a teenage Latino girl who was denied an abortion. She finally get the procedure done. And again, I have to specify, this is a teenager. Is there any upcoming legislation, or was there some in the past session that was, again, attacking a woman's right?
Yes. There's an organization called Jane's Due Process that helps minors who sometimes they might have been raped, and you have to go through this judicial process to get permission from the court to be able to have an abortion if they choose. If you cannot get parental consent, and sometimes it's the parent or a family member that is involved in or one of the reasons for the girl getting pregnant. And so I believe it went to the Supreme Court, or it's or maybe the Court of Appeals have temporarily granted. I can't recall exactly who.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think her pregnancy is a result of rape.
See, yeah, and there was a lot of legislation that came through. Several ended up passing this past session that would roll back some women's rights to be able to determine what they want to do with their own body. One of those, for example, dealt with insurance and not allowing insurance to cover it if necessary. And so there were amendments that were filed, even what if it's to protect the safety or the health or to protect the woman's life. The legislation that ended up being passed was signed into law by the governor, and essentially what is going to happen is that then you'd have to buy like a rape insurance or an abortion type insurance to cover it if you want to cover it later on. It's very, very strange.
You'd have to know in advance,
but you don't know in advance. Let's say that you have a child with a fetal abnormality, for example, and sometimes that's a really tough decision for any woman, for parents, for a family, and you're essentially forcing people to, if you want to, maybe one day purchase abortion insurance, which is just these are the types of things that are coming through the Texas legislature, and I'm telling you, every vote matters. That's why we need folks to vote again in 2018.
There was a law that was going to prevent a DNC. Now, a DNC is a procedure that a woman does after an abortion, which cleans out any tissue that might have been left. But any woman who gets who has a miscarriage has to have a DNC.
Yeah. And just a normal birth. I mean, if your placenta doesn't deliver, right? I mean, a DNC is so common.
Very common.
Not a normal birth, but a birth where there might have been something irregular that has gone on. Did that pass?
I can't recall.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
I mean, just the idea that that was proposed.
I know.
Shows that
men. It's men making up the stuff, because women would not. I don't think women. Maybe Jody Lavenberg.
I was about to say you always got that one.
Yeah. I mean, but it's so common a procedure. It's the same argument with birth control. You know how many medical conditions women take birth control for? You know, for menopausal abnormalities, to help regulate their cycle, and for all kinds of reasons that they take the same medication.
True. Very true.
You know, I mean, come on. Viagra was discovered because it was a side effect of something they were trying to develop for blood pressure. And then went, oh, look at that. Bingo, we've got ourselves an erection. Let's market that because it's a side effect of this drug. But it was originally intended to help control blood pressure. So, you know, they can't think that, like, birth control is meant to do more than one thing. Those pills are meant for other things. It's the same. It's the same thing with the DNC. The DNC is used widely. You know?
No.
Oh, it just drives me crazy because they can't think.
Right.
They refuse to think because it's women. Mm-hmm. If it were men, you know, another story. I'm sorry. I'm just going in there.
With the women's issue, we know a few years back they cut lots of funding for women's health programs. And as a result, we think is a big, there's a correlation. Texas has now one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the country. It's higher than higher than some third world countries. Pregnancy-related deaths from women who pass away within 6 months of giving birth in Texas. And it's higher among African, the percentage is higher among African-American women, which is significant. So these access to women's health programs across our state are very critical, and the funding for it is very critical as well.
Well, because they've conflated Planned Parenthood with abortion and are completely ignoring the 97% of the procedures that they do at Planned Parenthood.
Have nothing to do with abortions.
Which is just women's health.
Exactly. Right, women's health.
Women's well exams, pap smears.
And all of the good.
And of course, all of the Planned Parenthood helping women who want to get pregnant, helping them do that, because that's part of Planning Parenthood.
Right. They forget that. It really is.
But that has nothing to do with it. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and Lake Patty Fink. Our guest is State Representative Victoria Nyabe. I'm sorry, is Freshman of the Year State Representative Victoria Nyabe. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
And this is...
I'm Jelinski Brown with Research in the United Black Element, and I listen to Lambda Weekly radio program on 89.3 K9, the voice of the people. I am the people, so hear me speak.
Okay, yes, so we played two of them. Why did I play two of them? Because I had the machine set wrong. It's one of those days, yes?
It is one of those days.
We didn't play one after the last break, so...
But it's always good to hear Jelinski's voice.
Sure. We're talking to State Rep. Victoria Nyabe, and I just asked during the break, were you able to find them? Okay, so I asked during the break if she knew anything about the 7 statewide ballot propositions. Now, if you live in Dallas, there are 7 bond issues, and ten bond issues, and they're listed A through J. They're listed A through J, and those are for things like street repair is the biggest one.
Buildings at Fair Park. Historic buildings.
Number 10 is for homeless facilities, and in that one, I know Cathedral of Hope and Promise House and. One or two other organizations are putting Resource Center is one of them, putting together an emergency homeless shelter for homeless LGBT youth, and they will be applying for some of that money should that bond issue pass. There's money for what are some of the other issues for Fair Park, for city parks, for City Hall. Renovation and repair. City Hall opened like 1978. It's just time. It needs some upgrades, updates. Anyway, so that's the city bond portion of it.
They'll seek the bonds as they go, as they need the money.
Right. It's not like they're issuing all this money tomorrow.
At one time, right.
Yeah,
right.
So it's voting, for the next 5 years or so.
So voting yes would mean that these repairs and such can take place to these historic treasures in Dallas and street repair and such, and they'll borrow as they go.
Right.
And that's the way it's structured.
But look at them. One thing we're not telling you is how to vote on these. I'm just telling you what to vote, what you'd be voting on. And then there's a countywide one, whether or not to do away with Dallas County Schools, which is the entity that does our buses, school buses throughout the county. So gets the kids to school and then does some technology things, some computer stuff. But there are seven statewide ones. Number seven, Eric Johnson wrote that one. I can't even tell you what it is. I voted. Yeah, that's Eric's. Okay, I'll vote for that. there was one that was particularly horrible, though, and I think it's the first one, but I'm not. I can't promise you that. It's the one about if you wanted to sue on the constitutionality of a law, the court would have to notify the attorney general, and the attorney general could put that on hold for a certain period of time.
So there are seven constitutional amendments, proposed constitutional amendments, and the one that you're referring to is Proposition 4, and essentially would authorize the legislature to require a court to provide notice to the Attorney General of a challenge to the constitutionality of a state statute, and authorizing the legislature to prescribe a waiting period before the court can enter a judgment holding the statute unconstitutional. Now, that cuts both ways, okay? Because let's say that we have a good law that's on the books, individuals can come challenge that law in court, and it essentially tells the court, hold off from entering a final judgment on this case until the AG, Attorney General's office, is notified that there's a constitutional argument challenging that. And so as an attorney, whenever we, you know, file cases and have cases come through the courts, the judges don't have to notify the Attorney General typically. But when there's, if there's one of the arguments, it's a challenge to the statute because it's not constitutional, then the AG's office can come in and defend. So it does cut both ways where it can hurt or help.
Because the situation I'm thinking is, we have a law, we know it's unconstitutional, it's going to restrict abortion more, and we know it's going to be stopped because it's so blatantly unconstitutional, but at least we can get it through for a few weeks while the AG is dragging his feet on this kind of thing.
Right, yeah, so it's just, I think there's like a League of Women Voters analysis. There are other analysis of other organizations that sort of go through and show the pros and cons of each. The important thing is that we want individuals to go vote for these and make your voices heard. And especially if it's your first time voting, we had a lot of first time voters last cycle in 2016. Go and vote in these elections so you can see what the process is like, what it's like to click through and make your voice heard on these.
And one thing about early voting in Texas, for anybody who is new here, you vote in your county. So even though Dallas goes into Collin County, you might live in Dallas but not be able to vote in Dallas. If you live far, far north Dallas, you have to vote in Collin County or Denton County, wherever you live. You vote by county. But during early voting, you can vote at any early voting.
Right.
As usual, there is no early voting place in Oak Lawn, even though it's the most heavily populated area of the city. That was done years ago to prevent people in Oak Lawn from voting. And I've had discussions with people who did that, and that's exactly what they had in mind when they didn't set up an early voting place in Oak Lawn.
And what people can do to address that is contact the Dallas County Elections Administrator and contact your county commissioner and let them know that you want an early voting location there.
One of the places that's moved, a lot of people voted downtown at the Records Building. That's moved over to the Allen Courts Building because of the renovation going on in the Records Building right now. Go to DallasCountyVotes.org. And that'll have the Dallas County places to vote. Go to your Collin County or wherever you are. County registration, where you'd find where you're registered, all the county stuff. Just do a search, and you'll find it without too much problem. It'll list those early voting places. Early voting goes through Tuesday?
I think it goes through Friday.
Does it go through Friday? We're looking it up.
Get registered if you're not registered. That's one of the things also we want to heavily emphasize is go to Texas Secretary of State website, download an application, and get your voter registration in now, because right around the corner in February, we have early voting for the Democratic primary elections. And there are lots of great candidates running, and we need folks to turn out.
Or Republican. You know, however you can vote. Republican. Just go vote.
Vote Democrat. I know you've got to be, but
we want people to just register and vote. If everybody voted, we wouldn't have some of the people in the legislature like we were talking about.
And your votes matter.
Right, really no matter which side matter. You voted on. Mm-hmm. Are there any other statewide propositions
yes.
in particular that are of interest?
There are several propositions dealing with providing exemptions for veterans or partially disabled veterans, families who are
first responders,
like the surviving spouse of a first responder who is killed or fatally injured in the line of duty. This is, for example, some of the family members of the officers who were killed on July 7th. And would provide certain property tax exemptions. So that's what some of them relate to. The Proposition 7 that you might be talking about was the constitutional amendment relating to legislative authority to permit credit unions and other financial institutions to award prizes by lot to promote savings. Is that the one that you were referring
I think it's,
to?
I know it's number 7, is it, Eric?
That's number 7.
So, yeah.
So,
how does something become an amendment rather than having been passed? Is there a reason that these things are on the ballot?
Yes. So to amend the Constitution, you have to take that to the voters. To amend a statute, we as a legislature can file bills to amend an existing statute. So because these are amendments to the actual Texas Constitution, the voters decide.
And we're amending the Constitution because the Constitution limits some of these things.
Yes, typically, and it's because typically they deal with taxes or some sort of authority that you have to address in the Constitution and not only by statute. Sometimes it's, you have to fix it in the statute and the Constitution as well.
What's been fascinating to us over the years is that, you know, you can amend the Constitution for many things. I mean, you can see on the ballot, well, we're going to fix a bridge in Upshur County. That'll be on for a constitutional amendment. And so if you add it up over the years and over the legislative cycles, the things that have landed before the people to amend the Constitution, and the Texas Constitution is pretty darn messy.
Well, I don't think bridges in Upshur County should be upgraded.
Well, I agree. But, you know, that kind of thing does land on the ballot. But after when the legislature meets again, they usually produce an omnibus bill that sweepingly cleans up the penal code or anything that those amendments have affected. You know, so that if we change something or the people voted on this particular constitutional amendment and that affects laws that are in the penal code or the Texas code somehow, then that gets cleaned up.
The U.S. Supreme Court has invalidated something.
Right. And so year after year, or cycle after cycle in the legislature that only meets for 140 days every 2 years, we've been somebody in the Democratic caucus has introduced a bill to remove Section 2106 in the Penal Code, which is the homosexual conduct law that was struck down as unconstitutional across the United States in Lawrence v. Texas by the United States Supreme Court.
2003.
And it's still on the books.
And it's still on the books.
Still on the books.
And I mean, this is Texas. Yep. You know?
That's why we need you to vote. And the early voting days are. So you can go vote today, actually, Sunday from 1 to 6 p.m. at any early voting location, Monday through Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then Thursday, November 2nd, and Friday, November 3rd, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's election days, Tuesday, November 7th. But we've also have to encourage during early voting to extend the hours. So it's 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And it typically is for the primaries and the general elections. Mm-hmm.
But not for this election, which is, I hate to say, just propositions and bond issues. They're important. Talking about whether or not we're spending your money.
Yeah.
Right.
And that should be very important to everybody who pays taxes.
That's right.
Anywhere.
I don't know whose brilliance this was in the legislature, but the one good thing I think that came out, besides your bills, was the idea that on the ballot, the things that are state amendments are going to be numbered, and the things that are going to be municipal and lesser
and county
are going to be lettered, so that you can distinguish one from the other. So the state stuff will be numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the bond package for the city of Dallas will be like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like that. So I think that's... And on. There are 10 of them.
Goes through J.
So those things will be, I think that's just brilliant. Mm-hmm. It's finally, because I mean, as an election judge, you have to explain to a voter what's state and what's, you know, local, because it's all, you know, slapped on there together. Mm-hmm. This will be so easy. Mm-hmm. I like it.
So we just mentioned that the conduct code of homosexuality still on the books, even though it's been invalidated by the Supreme Court? What would it actually take to get that taken off?
So the bill needs to be filed again, and it was filed this last session, and we need to get a vote on the bill and get it passed and signed by the governor to, and then remove it from the Constitution.
It usually doesn't get out of committee, though, even. It
typically, yeah.
Or put it into an omnibus bill. There are a lot of things that go in and say, remove this, remove this, remove this, and they could just slide that right in there, and it gets taken out of the omnibus bills all the time. Yeah. It's special.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it got a hearing this time.
Probably not. Well, and I think Garnett Coleman is from Houston is the one who introduces it.
I think you're right. I think Chairman Coleman and Ms. T, I think both filed that one.
Yeah, but no matter how they've tried to do it, even if it's heard in committee, then you hear people saying, well, we know it's unconstitutional. It'll be marked in law books as unconstitutional. But it says what we believe here in Texas, and we want to keep it on the books.
It's the message.
Yeah, it is.
And that's why we encourage folks to vote Democratic. Sorry, I got to get that in.
No, she does. As a station, the only thing we do is we encourage people to vote. Because, we just don't take a position here at all, and you can tell that by the variety of guests that we have. What are you laughing? We have a variety of guests. We've had men. We've had women. We've had
gay Republicans.
We have. We've had straight people.
Yep.
I mean, we have one now. Walking into the studio is one. So we do a variety of guests here with a variety of opinions. What can I say? I'm still recovering from seeing Donald Trump Jr. this week.
I just have a quick thing. Now, you were not only Freshman of the Year last year, but when there was the drawing held for freshman privileges, I suppose, or seniority, you actually drew the number one. So you're in the number one pick. And if you get elected again, and let's hope that you do.
But we don't...
We don't endorse.
Endorse. Thank you.
Then what would be your perks? Because I know your seniority gets to carry.
Yes.
So you would not be a freshman. Would you be a sophomore? How does that work?
I think a second term representative. So it was really neat. I didn't know this. The way that they determine seniority is by picking ping pong balls. And of our new freshman class that came in, there were 20-something of us. I drew the number one ping pong ball. And so I was the most, I am the most senior of the freshmen. And so next cycle, if we're so fortunate enough to be reelected by our community, that helps me in terms of it helps us in terms of being able to our committee assignments, our seat on the floor of the House, office, things like that. And so we're gonna work very hard to continue to earn the votes of our community again.
That's awesome.
And
that's
the
awesome.
Other part of the seniority piece is if somebody is a replacement during the term, that person gets more seniority than the incoming class and is the lowest seniority in the previous.
Oh, group. Interesting.
Because again, we've been mentioning Eric, who is Proposition 7, who wrote that one. But Eric was in that position because he came in early to replace.
In a special election.
Yeah, in a special election. And so he gets more seniority than everybody else in his full first term. Okay. So that's just. More useless information. We're out of time. I want to thank you for being
thank
with
you so
us.
Much for coming back.
Yeah, so what's the election cycle coming up?
So the Democratic primary is early voting starts in February. The general election 2018 are going to be really critical. If anybody, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Victoria for Texas, and our website is victoriafortexas.com. If people want to get involved in a campaign, please, we would love to have your support. And just want to thank y'all so much for the opportunity. I really want to thank our community for coming out to testify against the bathroom bill, against a lot of this terrible legislation. It really, really made an impact and showed the power of the community.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much
Please
for being with us.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And next week our guest is, 1st of November, so it's Kennedy Markham week.
Yeah.
And if it's okay, I'd like to come by next time and present you a resolution. I had it at my district office.
Oh, please
do. For y'all, and I wanted to do it today, and then we stopped by my office and I had it at my other office. So. Yeah. If that's okay with you.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure. Come on.
What's
any time during the show?
Any show.
Right. Any show.
So, bye. Next, same 1 o'clock next. Okay, awesome. Thanks.